So I have a question for you. Have you ever been in someone's crosshairs? Let me explain that. If you're a hunter, you know what I'm talking about. You have your scope, you look through the scope, and there are two little crosshairs, one vertical, one horizontal. You can adjust them in keeping with the wind and such like, but you want to put that crosshairs, that X, if you please, right on your target before you pull the trigger. So you get that animal or whatever right there in your crosshairs, and then you shoot. Has anybody ever put you in their crosshairs? Maybe it was something you said. Maybe it was something you did. Maybe it was something you failed to say. Maybe it was something you failed to do. But have you ever been on someone's hit list? But that's not my question. Here's my question. Has someone else ever been in your crosshairs? Maybe it's something they said. Maybe it's something they did. Maybe it's something they failed to say to you, to yours. Maybe it's something they failed to do and didn't measure up to your expectations. And so you put them in your crosshairs. You put them in your black book. Top of the list, you know. If you've ever had someone in your crosshairs, Jesus has a word for you. It's the word that's on our screen. It's the word forgiveness. I have loved Chuck taking us through the book of Matthew all through the last year and this year. It's been a delightful study. And he has brought us to the end of Matthew chapter 18, where we pick up with verse 15. Now, if you'll remember, last week via Zoom, we very briefly looked at Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. And so we'll not spend a lot of time there, but we'll just kind of review to capture the contextual flow of where we are. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 35 is where our attention will be taken this morning. Now, if you study this particular section carefully, you will find three different divisions. There is a solution provided, there is a question asked, and there is an illustration given as the answer to the question. And so as we read through this passage and study it through the morning, I want you to keep those three divisions in mind. A solution is provided, a question is asked, and an illustration is offered to answer the question. We come to Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20, and a solution is provided by Jesus for what we call conflict resolution. It's in this particular section that we find the answer to our first of two major questions of interest. What does it mean to forgive? Let's read and remind ourselves of what Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. The solution that's provided for conflict resolution, four steps. If your brother sins against you, step number one is called confrontation. Go tell him his fault between you and him, keyword, alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, step number two, confirmation. take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, step number three, communication. Tell it to the church. Perhaps a better way to translate the term ecclesia here would be tell it to the assembling ones, because the church didn't exist at this particular time of Jesus making the statement. It does today, and in application of the passage, it is for us as members of the church, the assembling ones today. But when it was spoken, the church didn't exist as of yet. So tell it to the assembling ones. Communicate what's going on to those that are getting together. If he refuses to listen even to the assembling ones, step number four, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Individuals with whom the Jews in Jesus' day had absolutely no fellowship. And therefore, step number four is a cessation of the relationship. This is what Jesus tells us to do as a solution to conflict when it arises between us and someone with whom we have a spiritual relationship, a brother. Someone with whom we have a spiritual relationship violates the express will of God, sins against us, hurts us in the process of their violating God's expressed will. This is what Jesus teaches us to do as a solution to that conflict. Now, as we continue to read, we come to that first question of great interest this morning, and that is what does it mean to actually forgive? Jesus goes on to say in verse 19, I say to you, if two of you agree in this context, if you go to your brother and there's a resolution, you get back together, great. Maybe you have to take two or three with you and then it works, great. Maybe you tell it to the assembling ones and their efforts result in you and your brother getting back together, great. And so with this possibility in mind, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Where two or three are gathered in my name has nothing to do with church attendance. Absolutely nothing. It has everything to do with church agreement, God's people getting along. Now, in these words of verses 19 and 20, you have what it means to forgive. First of all, it means to come to an agreement where two of you agree. The word that's translated is sunfroneo. Let me say that fast a couple of times and see if you can hear an English word. Sunfroneo. Sunfroneo, sunfroneo. How about symphony? Sunfroneo, symphony. See, this is the word from which the term symphony comes. You have phroneo to sound, and sun, which means together, to sound together. And so forgiveness involves talking out, sounding together, talking out differences. There will never be forgiveness in keeping with God's concept of the term until we talk together and talk through whatever has caused the conflict. But then we keep reading and Jesus says, where two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Gathered translates a word, sunago. Ago means to go, soon together, to go together. where two of you are going together. And it translates a Greek term, not to be technical, but boy, the word picture. It's a perfect tense, which means something happened, bam, right here, and the results continue. And so here is what Jesus is actually saying. You get together and talk through your differences. And then from that point, you walk together as though the differences never existed. That's what's involved in forgiveness. Now, I know this is all about forgiveness because from that solution Jesus gave us, a question arises from Peter in verse 21. Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me?" That's the very thing Jesus said in verse 15, if your brother sins against you. "How often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Peter heard these words of Jesus and he knew Jesus was talking about forgiveness. Okay, we talk together about the conflict. And then we rise up and we walk together continually as if what had happened never happened. Peter said, "Now how often am I supposed to do that? How often am I supposed to forgive my brother?" That's forgiveness. Now the term forgive actually means to send away from. It's the word for to liberate, to free. A lot of times in the King James Version, it's translated remission. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." Same word found right here in verb form. And it means send away. And so we talk together about the conflict. We get up and we walk together as though the conflict never took place in the past because we have sent whatever caused it away. That's forgiveness. And that's not easy if you're like me. I have to struggle with this sometimes. There are individuals that have come into my life, as with you, I'm sure, that I've had difficulty with. Tried to work things out. And I still have difficulty with that person. And when I see that person come into the room where I am, the Boanerges comes out in me. Do you know what that means? Boanerges. You see, there were two apostles of Jesus, James and John. They were in Samaria. The Samaritans didn't accept Jesus at the moment. And James and John says, "You want us to call lightning down from heaven?" And Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder, Boanerges. There are some people coming to the room, the Boanerges comes out of me. I want to call down lightning and thunder. But I can't be that way. I am not to be that way. I'm supposed to talk it out, walk together, sending the conflict away, having talked it out, having decided to walk together. So I need help with this. I'm kind of thinking you might too. So here's our second question to consider, and it comes into this area called an illustration. He gives us the solution of conflict resolution. There's a question, how often should I do this? Forgive. And then Jesus gives us an illustration to answer that question about forgiveness. It's in the illustration, sometimes called Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant, that we find the secret to being more forgiving. So we're going to take the time to read the illustration. We're going to watch it unfold before us. There are three scenes. To each scene, we can give a title. And it's like an individual is walking across the stage in a theater, and the individual walks across the stage with a big piece of poster board. And on this poster board are words that tell you, this is the name of this scene. And then they walk away. Another scene, this is the name of this scene. That happens three times in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through the end of the chapter. So let's read it, watch it unfold, and then step back. Now, as we read, I'm going to ask you to do something if you like to mark in your Bibles. We actually studied this story when we first came to Spring Meadows back in the kitchen. And that was almost 9 years ago. And I ask you then to underline three words. So you may already have them underlined in your Bible. If not, now's the time to do it if you like to do that sort of thing. Those three words are the words we have on screen. Let's read. Going back to verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times. He wanted to know, do I forgive a person seven times? Jesus said, not seven times, but 77 times. English Standard Version. And he begins telling the story. Scene number one. Scene number one could be entitled, Pardon, Forgiveness Applied. Because in scene number one, verses 23 through 27, an individual in the story is given forgiveness. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Hard to know how much that was. A talent wasn't a measurement of coinage. It was a measurement in general. So the value of a talent depended on what you were measuring, gold or silver, costly stones. But this man owed 10,000 talents. Now I go back to 1 Chronicles 29 and I find there that provisions were being made for Solomon building the temple. And then they used 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of refined silver. 3, 7, 10,000. This man owed 10,000 talents. The story is being told by Jesus in an emphatic way as if to say he owed what he could never pay. Keep reading. Since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. Study Leviticus 25 when you go home and you'll see that's exactly what the Old Testament taught should be done. Well, the servant fell on his face, imploring, begging him, have, underlined this word, patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of, underline this word, pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him. Afiami, released, forgave, sent away, liberated, freed him from the debt. Pardon was applied. The man couldn't pay a debt, and the debt was canceled. Scene number two. Scene number two is entitled, Pardon Denied. Because now our attention shifts from the servant and his master to that same servant and another servant. Let's read. It says, out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him, forgave him the debt. But verse 28, when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, Matthew 20, verses 1 and 2 tell us that a denarius was a single day's wage. So this second servant owed 100 days of wages. We might say he was behind in his debt 3 months. Seizing him, grabbing him by the throat, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell and pleaded with him, implored him, begged him. Have underlined this word, patience with me, and I will repay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Pardon was denied. And that brings us to scene number 3. And we will entitle scene number 3, Pardon Set Aside. And this is one of the most shocking, if not threatening, and disturbing things Jesus ever taught in his 3-year ministry. Pardon set aside. Verse 31, when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant. He wasn't wicked because he didn't read his Bible. He wasn't wicked because he skipped church. He wasn't wicked because he used profanity. He wasn't wicked because he turned to pornography on his computer screen. He didn't have computers, I know. He was wicked, folks, because he refused to forgive. That's why I work on my poor energies. Because if I don't work on my poor energies, if I don't take people out of my crosshairs, Jesus calls me a wicked soul. That's serious business. You wicked servant. I forgave you, pardon applied, all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had, underline this word, mercy on your fellow servant, as I had, underline it, mercy on you. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. All that was owed, all that had been forgiven, was reapplied. You know what Jesus tells me there? I can be forgiven of everything in my past, and I can live with the freedom of knowing I'm okay with God. But if I refuse to forgive, everything in the past is just piled right back onto my record, and the pardon that was granted is set aside. If that's disturbing to you, get in line. That's how serious it is to talk it out, to walk together as if it never happened, and send away the offense. Jesus applies this to us in verse 35. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. You don't walk through the motions. You just don't write it down. It comes from within. Pretty challenging. So how can we be more forgiving? Look at those words we've underlined. The first word that we've underlined is the word patience. Have patience with me. First and second servant made that request. Patience, makrothumia, Macro, long, in contrast to micro, short, small. Macro, long, thumia, thumos, passion, anger. Long in coming to passion. Long in coming to anger. To work on being more forgiving, I must work on my temper. I must be long in getting mad at people. If I have a temper, I'm here to tell you, you got a bigger problem. You're going to struggle with forgiveness, and that could render you wicked. So we need to work on our patience. Word number two. Pity. You underline the word pity. And it's a word that means to have compassion. The master had pity on the man that owed him 10,000 talents, and he forgave the debt. He had pity. Now, of interest, the word that is translated, he had pity, is a verb that suggests this was something done to the master, not something done by the master. That's interesting. It suggests to us that when the master saw this individual and heard this individual's plea, he was moved on the inside. He was touched. And because he was touched by the request, he granted freedom. And so I not only need to work on my temper, I need to work on the way I feel about other people. And work on this idea of having more passion that leads to a compassion for those that have done what is wrong, those that want to do what is right. The third word that we've underlined is the word mercy, used twice also by Jesus. And it translates a term that means to help the wretched. And this is the most difficult. I need to work on not getting mad. I need to put myself in the other person's shoes and compassionately try to see the conflict from their point of view. And then I need to help the person that has hurt me. Difficult as it is, that is needed to be more forgiving. His name was Ed Stanton. He was a rival, a political and courtroom rival of Abraham Lincoln. On one occasion, there was a group of lawyers sitting around a table. There was a knock on the door, and another lawyer was coming in to join. The door was opened, and the door opened revealed that other lawyer. He was a tall, lanky sort of fella. His breeches hit high water, as did his jacket, and there stood Abraham Lincoln. And Ed Stanton says, "Get that gorilla," that's what he called him, "get that gorilla out of here." And they were political rivals down through time. When Abraham Lincoln was named our 16th President of the United States, he began to compile his cabinet, and he selected a man named Ed Stanton to be his Secretary of War. When those closest to him asked, "Why him?" "He's the right man for the job." On that heartless night, in April of several hundred years ago. The wounded body of Abraham Lincoln was taken from Ford Theater across the street to a house. It was placed on a bed in the back bedroom of the house. I've been there. Small bed. That house is connected to a second house by a walkway. You take the walkway into the second house, and here's a museum for Abraham Lincoln. And there on the wall is a flag. And it was the flag that was folded up and used as a pillow for the wounded head of Abraham Lincoln. And on that flag, you can still see the blood stains of our deceased president. It's in this second house that a spiral staircase has been built. It's either two or three stories, I couldn't remember. But this spiral staircase goes all the way up to the top floor. And inside that spiral staircase, you could not put your, take two or three of us to join hands to circle around the inside of that spiral staircase. Inside the spiral staircase are books. There's just stacks and stacks and stacks of books, a tower of books from the bottom floor all the way up to the top floor inside that spiral staircase. And every one of them is a book that has been written about Abraham Lincoln. What a treasure he has been in memory and an accomplishment to our nation. We walk back to that back bedroom where his body lay, and he draws his last breath. Friends and cabinet members were around his lifeless body. And there was a man in the room. There was a man in the room named Ed Stanton. And when President Lincoln drew his last breath, Ed Stanton made a statement that has been engraved on the tombstone of President Lincoln. He said, "Now he belongs to the ages." Why did he say that? Why did he feel that? Because somebody had a heart big enough to forgive. And I want you to leave today knowing that if you have a heart big enough to forgive the person you put in your crosshairs, maybe, sometime, someone will be able to say, "Now he belongs to the ages." And all of that's possible because one man had the biggest heart of all. And he's the man that said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because of that man, we're here this morning. And perhaps you need his forgiveness. As one who believes in him as the Son of God, willing to change your life and live for him. If you wish to be immersed in water to have all of your sins washed away, taken away by his shed blood, we can help you. If bitterness has wrapped itself around your heart, and that person's still in your crosshairs and you need some help and you want us to, as brothers and sisters, to talk to our Father about the matter, we're happy to help. We just want to go be with God. We want to help you do the same. If we can help you in any way, there are going to be elders around the back. One or two might be up here. Please come. Accept their embrace. Let us be of help to you this very moment as we stand together, as we sing.